Okay. Well, today is the first in a three-part series. I've been thinking and praying about this for a while. I'm going to speak for three Sundays in a row. I know you're going to bring your friends next week. And then after that, we'll have to bring out more chairs. So it's not that funny. Okay, today, this is, I just began to feel that where our church is headed in my spirit, we're just so ready. And it's not what's going to happen in the future. It's what's happening now. And I really feel like that there's so much hope, that there's so much ministry that is taking place now and is going to take place in these next several months. And I just think that God has prepared us. We didn't plan it. Some of this, it just has kind of happened. And I just want to thank you all for being so faithful to this church, so faithful to the leadership here. And I am just so privileged and really very proud to be a pastor at this church. And so what's coming soon is that we're really going to be loving people. And we're going to be purposeful in that. And I'm going to talk a little more about that today, a little more about that next week, and then much more about that the week after. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. This first part, verse 6 through 8, is not going to be on the screen. But then we're going to go to verse 9 and 10, and that is our theme scripture for the year. And you may not lift your head up past eye level, but if you do, when you're right outside these doors, that beautiful picture that's at the top has this scripture. This is our theme scripture for the year, but we're going to start at verse 6. And so it says this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I want to stop there. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And right before this, he's talking about that, you know, there's all kinds of things that he could have preached. But he has kept it simple, but profound. And it's a message of wisdom. God's wisdom, which of course involves an infinite number of things, of course. We're talking about God here, his wisdom. But here he's referring to the hidden secret of the cross of Christ. And it's the mystery that was hidden. And that, and like I've said lately, it's the great secret of the great secret is salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you were raised with that, you were told that at a young age, but there's many millions and millions of people who are not in on the secret. And even if you hear it, until you accept it, you're not in on the secret. And it's a mystery. The mystery that was hidden. The salvation that comes from Christ. The greatest mystery the human race has ever known. All of our hope stems from the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This will be on the screen. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his what? Spirit. Revealed to us by his Spirit. The salvation by the cross of Christ has opened up everything. Everything. So that when we read this scripture, these things that are revealed to us by his Spirit, first and foremost, it's that we're saved, that we can go to heaven. But that's not all. It reveals by the Spirit, all these things that we are a part of now. So many things, and we're going to learn about these things. And in this chapter, the Holy Spirit is mentioned no less than 10 times. So who is the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to work on today. Who is the Holy Spirit? And so I'm just going to give 2 points, and the first point is this. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, most Protestant denominations, Catholics also, believe in the Trinity. That is, that God consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I was raised in the Catholic Church, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, we do that and we kneel and put our fingers in the water. Three in one. You know, there's religions like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science. I'm not going to get into that, but they do not hold to that teaching. They do not teach that God is three in one. So when we think about that, you think, well, how could that be? Well, you have to remember one thing. God is a mystery. There's things that we can know, but there's things that we won't know. But it's when you think about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we can understand the Father because, you know, we have fathers. We can understand that. We can understand the Son to a degree. The Holy Spirit, what are you going to compare to? And so sometimes we kind of compartmentalize the Holy Spirit. We think, well, I can't understand that, so I don't know. He's like air. He's like the wind. I don't know. I can't understand the Holy Spirit. But we're gonna look a little bit deeper into that. And I found some really great information from none other than Billy Graham, who was one of my heroes of the faith, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. So when I talk about that the Holy Spirit is God, this is what he's talking about. This is a little transcript that he came up with, and I'm going to kind of interject here and there. A lot of this will be on the screen. And the first part of what he says is that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Everybody say person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Throughout the Bible, it is clear that the Holy Spirit is God himself. This is seen in the attributes which are given to the Holy Spirit in Scripture, for example. Without exception, these attributes are those of God himself. So the first thing we're going to look at is that he is eternal. He's eternal. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Eternal Spirit. This means that there never was a time when the Holy Spirit was not. He has always been because he's God. Now, these are foundational things. For some of you, it's just a good reminder about this foundation. For some of you, this is a new foundation about who the Holy Spirit is, that third person of the Trinity. So we know from Scripture that he is eternal. He has always been. The second thing is he is all-powerful. Luke 1:35, this is the angel speaking to Mary. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So the Holy Spirit in power comes upon Mary. And the Son of God came to be in her womb through the power of the Spirit, the power of God. He's the power of God in action. That's how I think of the Holy Spirit. He's God in action. Okay, so the next one is that he is everywhere present. That means omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I love this. Psalm 139:7, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" The Spirit is God's presence everywhere. So when we think that God is everywhere, that's the Spirit. That's God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And He will never leave you. And when you call on Him, He is there. It's not like He's far away, so He has to come running. He's right there. And that is a comforting thought, that no matter what we're going through, He is there because He's everywhere. And the next one is that He is all-knowing. That is, He's omniscient. So 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10 and 11, that same chapter we were just in, it says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So we think of our spirit. We think of our spirit. And that's who we are. That's part of who we are, is our spirit. And then God's Spirit comes to live within us. Well, the Word says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God because that's who He is. It's hard to grasp, but He searches the deep things of God because He is God. And He is all-knowing. The next one is that the Holy Spirit is called God. Now, I, in recent months, have been challenged a few times by a few people who have said, well, the Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is God. Yeah, it does. Sure does. We're going to read a couple scriptures, okay? It's not just examples where all three are together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which there are lots of those examples. But listen to this, Acts 5, 3 and 4. "But Peter said," and before I read this, this is just a situation in the New Testament, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, and where a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, they are well known for something that wasn't too great. They lied about some property that they had to the apostles. So here we go. "These things, Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.'" Okay, so we start off with Satan filled their heart to lie to who? The Holy Spirit. Then he ends the paragraph with, "You lied to God," because they're the same. Holy Spirit, they lied to the Holy Spirit, lied to God. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18, very plain. "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." From the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. He is God. All right. The next one is, He is the Creator. And the first biblical reference to the Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1:2. It says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Okay? Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then we're going to jump to Colossians 1, where Paul's writing to the church at Colossae about the Lord Jesus Christ, among other tremendous truths. He tells us, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things together." So this is an example of creation itself, where we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because Paul when he says, for by him, he's speaking of Jesus Christ. By him, all things were created. So we have all three at the creation of the world. So to understand all of these foundational things about the Holy Spirit, it's just very important so that we just don't have to wonder who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God. He's one of the three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. So Wednesday nights, we've just begun the video series, The Truth Project, and we had a good crowd here Wednesday night. Been a long time since I'd seen this series, and I got to say, it is so good. If you can make it, make it. How many of you were there on Wednesday? Yeah, quite a few of you. Isn't it good? Oh, there's so many things that happen in this video series that I just sit there and shake my head and go, wow, wow. Just the way that the word is related to the way things work in life and how truth is found. Obviously, it's the Truth Project, but oh, it's just so, so powerful. That's Wednesday nights at 6:45. Everybody say 6:45. 6:45. Not 7. 6:45. Yes, 6:45. Okay. So, yeah, one of the main truths about, or at least one of the main teachings on this is obviously truth. And where does truth come from? And yes, truth comes from God. That's the right answer. But the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit in the book of John as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. So that's number two, is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. And John 16:13, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So next week, we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does, which is many, many things. But we need to establish that he's the truth. And you might think, well, how's that going to help me? Because, as you know, we're being bombarded by lies every day. And they're often they're very, very subtle. And the gentleman, Dell, who teaches the Truth Project, I love what he said. He goes, I used to think that they were clever. I used to think that the things that the devil would fool us on or lie to us about were clever. He goes, they're not clever at all. They're obvious. But we have that sin nature in us that wants to do these things, okay? That original sin nature. Fortunately, when we accept Christ, we have the Holy Spirit come to live in us, and we can make good decisions and overcome that. But we are bombarded by lies. I'm just going to say a few of these lies. And some of these you're going to go, what? What's wrong with that? Okay. First one I'm going to say, didn't take me long to think of these. I guess there's all kinds of them. How about this one? You need to decide your own truth. How about that one? You need to just decide your own truth. Well, how does that work out for you? You're making the decision. You're the one figuring it out. You're the one deciding what's true or not. And do you ever make mistakes? Yeah, I do. I do all the time. Your own truth. Well, let's see. What does the dictionary say? Merriam-Webster says, the property as of a statement of being in accord with fact or reality. So truth, we're talking about fact or reality. Okay? So if you decide your own truth, whatever you come up with, a lot of it's going to be subtle lies. Subtle. Your own truths will oftentimes not line up with reality, which is truth. It has to be reality. Okay? Because just because you want something to be true doesn't mean that it is. It doesn't make it so. I mean, If my wife came up here and I gave her a 2x4 and I said, you know what, mind over matter, I just don't think that's going to hurt. I don't. That's my truth. I'm deciding this. I'm deciding this is not going to hurt. So, honey, let her rip. Obviously, that's not the truth. That's not reality. But, you know, there's so many things that people are deciding today that just aren't. They've come up with it. And so the media, the world, oh, that's so good. Yes, you're coming up with your own truth of who you are, of how you think. And it doesn't matter if you don't want to talk to anyone. It doesn't matter if you want to stay by yourself all the time. It doesn't matter because that's your truth. It doesn't matter. Well, that's not reality. That is not reality. Just because you come up with it doesn't mean it's truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We look to God for the truth. We don't look to ourselves for the truth. Okay? Jesus is the truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are the truth. How about this one? And this was said the other night, so I stole it from the video, but it's a good one. I hear this from time to time. Sometimes people will use the word faith or belief, and they won't be talking about God. They'll be, usually they're interviewed, and they'll say, oh, I just had faith. I just had faith. And they're not talking about God. And I every time they do that, I go, faith in what? Faith in faith? You're not saying what you had faith in. It's just a positive statement. I just had faith. Or I just had belief. Or, you know, if you're feeling bad, you just got to have faith. And these are from people who aren't Bible-believing people. And that's a lie. Because there's nothing, there's no fact to it. You're having faith in nothing. It's just a positive word to say. And you hear that quite a bit. 1 Corinthians 2:3-5 says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, I referenced this earlier, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our faith rests in God. That's, as believers in Christ, that's what we have faith in. That's who we have faith in. Not faith in whatever you or someone else comes up with. That's one of the lies that's out there. And the last one I'm going to say, and some of you are going to go, what's wrong with that? Okay, how about follow your heart? Doesn't that sound good? That sounds so good. Oh, just follow your heart. Oh, I mean, how many rom-coms say that? You know, the mom says to the daughter who's, you know, doesn't know what to do, oh, honey, just follow your heart. Okay, boy, does that sound good. But you know, there's Disney princesses that say that. There's teen sitcoms, popular music. This is heralded as the key to good decision making. Follow your heart. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is what? Deceitful. What does that mean? Deceitful, I mean it can fool you. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Because the heart is probably the worst place to turn. Because it's probably the worst place to turn because your feelings change. Your feelings change. I'm not saying your heart's never right, but if that's what you're going to go by, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to make some wrong decisions, I know of someone recently who made a wrong decision based on what they were feeling, and they regretted it real quick because feelings are temporary. Feelings are temporary. The Bible also says the word of the Lord endures forever. So because the Spirit is God and He is the truth, the Spirit of truth, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal the word of God to us in truth. That's where we're going to find it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 that I read earlier. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. In God's creative wisdom, He has made a way. He has made a way so that we could be with Him in heaven. The things God has prepared. So that's one of the great things about this scripture. Part of it is, it's not just the initial salvation, the initial being saved. Being saved for what? Well, it's this life, which we're going to talk about next week. But it also means that we can go to heaven. It's incredible. And you might wonder, well, how can we go to heaven when we're imperfect human beings? We know that God is holy, which means He's pure. So how can I enter heaven if I'm not? Well, you can't. You can't. And people who say, well, you just got to be a good person. That doesn't work. That's a lie, too. That's a lie, too. Being a good person is a good thing. That's not going to get you to heaven. You can be the greatest do-gooder there ever was. And it's not going to get you to heaven, because you're still a sinful person. You'll still have sin as a part of your life. You've made mistakes. You sin. But so you can't enter heaven like that, because God is pure. God is pure. But I'm glad He didn't leave us that way, because He's made a way for us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the blood that He shed on the cross. Through this cleansing of His blood, we are made new by the infilling presence of who? The Spirit of God, who we're talking about. So the Spirit, who is God, comes to live inside of us. Now, many of you know this already and have experienced this, but it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. Never forget. Some of you who are miraculously saved, you remember some things because it was such a stark difference. All of a sudden, you saw for the first time, you saw the Bible in a totally different way for the first time, because the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and you noticed right away. Something was different. Something was different. And it's an incredible thing. Through this cleansing of His blood, we're made new. And since we have the Spirit of God in us, it means everything. It means that we can live a life full of hope, full of wisdom, full of truth, full of grace, or extending favor and kindness to other people. If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you think this way now. I know before I was a Christian, I suppose sometimes I thought about other people. Somebody challenged me the other day, not really challenged me, but they said, well, I know people who aren't Christians who do good things. Yeah, sure. You know why? Because God created them too. So we have a bit of that. You know, you can do good things and you're not a believer in Christ. I have friends who aren't believers in Christ, and they're nice people. They can do good things. Yes, absolutely. But the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes and he changes us from the inside out, and we just think differently. I can remember so distinctly, and I refer often to before I was saved, because it was such a black and white thing for me. I was so this way. And it's not like I never was nice to people. I was. I was nice to people sometimes, for sure. But I was always thinking about myself. I always, yeah. I just didn't think about helping other people too much. I was about what was going to work for me, you know, and what did I feel like doing? Well, I can tell you, that kind of thinking didn't get me very far. As a matter of fact, it brought me down to a terrible place in the end. It's not always, it doesn't always immediately plunge you down there, but it's just a way that we think. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, the Spirit of truth, I can just remember right away thinking of someone else. I was like, wow, there's other people out here. And I need to care about other people. I remember thinking that right away. And it was such a new thought. Wow. I should be nice to people. I should help people. It's not always about what I want to do. Now, my wife might say something different, but I don't think so. It is about thinking of someone else. Why do I say this? Why am I bringing this up? Because in the coming days, I want to talk about something that Perry Atkinson brought to us a few weeks ago. Here's what he said. And it was so simple, but it was so profound. And it might have slipped right by you. He said this: each day, purposely doing something kind to and for someone else. And he just said it might be a text, might be an email. I can't remember his exact verbiage, but, you know, it could be anything. It could going and helping somebody you know needs help. It could be just giving an encouraging word to someone, saying something nice to someone without expecting anything in return, not having a personal agenda when you talk to someone, but sincerely asking about them, praying for other people, purposely doing something every day. Now, you might think, well, I think I do that. Well, I'm going to say you're a bit of an exception. Because I know some of you out there, and I know that you do that. But I will say this, and this is what Perry said. If we all do this, this isn't a program. You know, there's nothing wrong with programs. It's not something that the staff put together. This is just you and me living the life that Jesus has asked us to live. And that is done by the Holy Spirit. Doing something nice for someone. I bet you when I said that, somebody's name came to you. I hope it did. Somebody's name came to you. You know why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And if you ask him, he'll let you know. That's what he wants you to do. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to make a difference in other people's lives. And maybe overlook some tough things. I was just at a big family thing. Most of them are just, I'll just say, all of them are wonderful people. A few are a little hard to get along with, I guess. It's so exhausting, I tell you. But I'm sure some of them say that about me. And that's one thing we always have to remember. But it's something where we as a church purposefully are going to do something. And when I say this, it's not what we do. It's not what we do that gets us to heaven. But we make a difference. We first have the relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us. And that comes first. But as we do that, he begins to do these things in our lives where we begin to help other people, where we begin to pray for other people. And if you're a person who maybe you've had some terrible things happen to you, and sometimes you just need prayer. I get it. And I've prayed for many of you, and lots of you have prayed for other people. Sometimes you just need prayer. You need encouragement. I get it. I totally get it. But I'll tell you what, if you want to move on in your life, turn that into looking. See if somebody else might need some help. Somebody else might need some prayer. Somebody else might need an encouraging word. You'd be amazed at how your life's going to change and how you're going to make a difference in those around you. This is such a simple concept, but if we all do this, think what a difference we're going to make. Not with a program, not with some outreach event, but with in our daily lives. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. All right, so let's stand. The Holy Spirit, the most important secret ever known to man, is that the Holy Spirit can come to live inside you. Powerful. Through the shed blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask the question. So, I don't always like everybody to bow their heads, but in this instance, just bow your heads just so that if anybody does feel like that they want to respond to this word, that they can just do that freely. And so, if you are in this place and all these things I'm talking about, God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, how you can have a new life. He wants to forgive you right where you are. Right where you are. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what you've done. He wants to forgive you when you ask his forgiveness. And he wants to come into your life. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, if there's someone in here, when I count to three, I would just like you to raise your hand, and we just all want to pray for you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to call you out. But you want to make a decision for Jesus Christ. One, two, three. Just raise your hand right where you are. I see you back there. I see one, two, three, four, six. Hallelujah. 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 And maybe more than that. Maybe you didn't raise your hand and you want to do that. I've had people do that. All right, if you raise your hand, how exciting is this? How exciting is this? I saw six of you. I'm just going to be bold. If you raise your hand and you want somebody to pray with you, we have people ready to pray with you, and I would like you to come down to the front, just right down here. And if you want people to come down front, clap. Yeah. Come on down. If you raise your hand, come on down. We want to pray for you. I saw six of you. Come on. We're going to wait a few moments. Come on down front. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Yeah. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. Come on down. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That's an old one. Yeah, we're going to wait a few more moments. I saw several of you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Okay, thank you for coming down. We have some prayer people coming. Okay, we have a closing song, but it's a little bit rambunctious. I want these people to be able to talk. Let's do something mellow. Let's do something mellow that we already did. Holy Spirit. Yeah, let's do that. Well, let's sing it. Let's sing it. Can you give me a D?
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen. Come down. That's all right. It's all right. I want you to talk to somebody, though. I really do. Either somebody you came with, maybe somebody from the worship team that you kind of relate to, maybe a pastor that you might see, or go back to the Next Steps area. There's people back there that would love to talk to you, and there's information for you. They got some goodies for you to take home that you can study, get your own Bible. Get you started in your new walk in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to do one more song, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and you can consider yourself dismissed, but we're going to go for it. If you want to worship with us, this last song, it kind of gets up and moves. And some of these people here, you might want to walk away with them once we get started. All right, we're gonna celebrate. So let's pray, everybody, together. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can know truth in these days, and the truth is that Jesus Christ has come to testify to the truth, and the truth is that he is the way to salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us today by your Spirit. We love you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to do one more song. You can leave if you need to.